Every Day is Earth Day is supported by Minnesota Valley Federal Credit Union. With two locations in Mankato since 1934, it pays to bank where you're part owner, member NCUA. More at mnvalleyfcu.coop. And Every Day is Earth Day is also supported by members of the Executive Board of the South Central Minnesota Clean Energy Council. Find out more at smcleanenergy.org. Good morning. For Every Day is Earth Day today, we have Carly Griffith. She is a water program director with the Minnesota Center for Environmental Advocacy, also called MCEA, and they use law and science to protect Minnesota's environment, natural resources, and the health of its people. Good morning, Carly.
Good morning.
It's great to have you on the show. Now, you are relatively new, I noticed, to the water program director of the MCEA, just starting in October of 2022.
That is correct. Yes, I was in Madison, Wisconsin for my PhD program and moved to Minnesota in October of 2022.
And where does your water interest come from? I was reading a little bit of your background, and it sounds like you've got a real tie to our waters.
Well, I developed a love for work on water issues from an early age. I'm an open water swimmer, so I really appreciate a healthy watershed because I like to swim in lakes and rivers. I've been able to do some long open water swims in Lake Superior, for example. And I come out of a research background where it's really important to me to understand the different pollutants that threaten our water bodies, but it's also important to connect that knowledge and that research to concrete action to improve public health and environmental outcomes. So that's what led me to a job in environmental advocacy.
Now, where are you from originally then?
I am originally from the state of Virginia, not the city in Minnesota. So I'm from the East Coast, from Virginia, and moved to the upper Midwest in 2017.
Okay, because I was just wondering, to compare water quality, let's say in Virginia versus Minnesota, did you notice a big difference traveling over to the Midwest?
Well, one of the biggest differences that anyone would notice quickly is that Virginia has very few natural lakes. In fact, we only have a couple of natural lakes in the entire state. We have a lot of beautiful rivers in Virginia. But I was very excited to move to the land of 10,000 lakes, but also to learn about the interconnected water issues in Minnesota. You know, we do a lot of work on water quality, and we think of Minnesota as a very water-rich state. But it has been also been interesting to learn about the water quantity issues that we do face here in Minnesota as well. So the kinds of problems that we don't often associate with a water-rich state, but that we can't ignore here in Minnesota.
Well, we are excited to have you down to Mankato this Saturday, March 23rd. You will be a part of the State of Minnesota River Town Hall. It's 10 to 11:30 at the Cato Ballroom here in Mankato. So I wanted to talk a little bit about that and what is the State of Minnesota River Town Hall all about and who should come?
Yeah, so we are very excited to be a part of the State of Minnesota River Town Hall. We are very excited for the State of the Minnesota River Town Hall in Mankato this Saturday. The event is hosted by CURE, the Lake Pepin Legacy Alliance, and MCEA, with support from the Minnesota Division of the Isaac Walton League, Friends of the Minnesota Valley, the Coalition for a Clean Minnesota River, Minnesota Well Owners Organization, and Freshwater. So we are excited to be a part of this event with so many other organizations that have invested time and expertise to address water-related issues in the basin.
Now, one of the missions of the Minnesota Center for Environmental Advocacy is to use law and science to protect our environment and natural resources. So will there be lawyers there? Will there be scientists there? Or who is this town hall for?
So this town hall is meant to be a broad invitation to anyone who cares about water issues in the Minnesota River Basin. So there may well be some attorneys there in the audience, but to my knowledge, none of the speakers are attorneys. I myself, while I work with many attorneys, I am not an attorney. Like I said, I come out of a research background, and I will be joined by speakers from Freshwater, like Dr. Carrie Jennings, who has expertise on sediment loads within the Minnesota River Basin, also by the executive director of Lake Pepin Legacy Alliance, who can speak to the downstream impact that high pollutant loads in watersheds like the Minnesota River, how those impact downstream waters like Lake Pepin. There will also be speakers from the Minnesota Well Owners Organization. They are really focused on public health protections for private well owners. And finally, from a speaker from CURE, Peg Fershong with CURE, will speak to the grassroots advocacy work that CURE does across the Minnesota Basin.
And what is CURE? I'm not familiar with that.
So CURE is short for Clean Up the River Environment, and it is a rural nonprofit organization that works on issues from rural social justice to carbon pipelines to climate issues to water sustainability. So Peg will be there to speak to CURE's work on a variety of those issues, but in particular on water sustainability issues in the Minnesota River Valley.
Carly, as a water program director for the MCEEA, what do you see as some of Minnesota's biggest issues related to water?
So in the Minnesota River Basin in particular, we have a lot of knowledge of the major challenges that we face. We have a lot of documentation, for example, from the Minnesota Pollution Control Agency that really show the scale of the challenges that the Minnesota River faces. It is one of our largest rivers in the state, and it also has some of the highest levels of pollution. The major pollutants in the Minnesota River include sediment that comes both from farm fields and then also from stream bank erosion. It is accelerated by altered hydrology. For example, agricultural drainage systems can accelerate that stream bank erosion process. We also have high nutrient levels like phosphorus and nitrate. In the case of nitrate, that can cause human health concerns if the concentration levels exceed certain thresholds. And then we also have bacteria from untreated human and animal waste that can be carried by field runoff or septic systems. So we have quite extensive impairments across the Minnesota River and a variety of factors that contribute to those. So we are lucky to have pretty sophisticated knowledge of what those water quality challenges are. And what we need to do now is take the steps to make changes on the landscape to address some of those challenges.
I didn't hear you mention the PFA or the polyfluoroalkyl issues or microplastics. Is that something you are also concerned about with our waters?
So I don't personally, I have not done much work directly on microplastics, so I will let others with more expertise speak to that particular issue. We have done a lot of work around PFAS at MCEA with a focus on the role that wastewater streams can play with PFAS. So, you know, when industries process and discharge their own wastewater or send their wastewater to municipal wastewater treatment plants. So that is a statewide issue that we have done some work on and will continue to work on. It isn't a regionally specific issue to the Minnesota Basin, while those other issues that I mentioned are.
Okay, I was just wondering. So what can people expect at this Minnesota River Town Hall? How are you going to be presenting this? What are we going to be hearing about?
So one of the particular issues that I will speak to, so I will be one of the speakers at the event, and I am going to speak to the importance of how we define our waters in the state of Minnesota and what protections come with different classifications of water. So in particular, I will talk about the public, the ways that we define public waters in the state of Minnesota, when a water course is classified as a public water. That carries certain protections with it. For example, you might need a public waters permit if you plan to do work like improve a drainage system in ways that would impact that water course. It also can come with mandatory categories of environmental review in some cases. That will depend on the scope of the project and the scope of its impact. But I want to really talk about the ways, the systems that we have in place in Minnesota to categorize our waters to ensure that our public waters, which belong to all of us, have adequate protection so that they can be continued to be used by all of us to swim in, to fish from, to drink from for, you know, water bodies like Minnesota that we may draw from for municipal water supplies for cities like Mankato, for example. So I will be focused on public water system protections and the reasons why it matters to the Minnesota River Basin in particular, given some of those challenges that I named earlier, to ensure that all waters that meet the definition of public waters are defined as public waters. So that ties into some work that we've done on individual projects within the basin, for example, some drainage improvement projects within the basin, as well as some work that we've done at the state legislature.
Now, I notice that's one thing you do is you do work with the legislature on issues. Are there certain things you're working with now, whether it's some sort of a bill or something that you feel is important that we enact to help protect our waters? Is there any particular issue at this time?
Yeah, so one of the bills that we support this session is called the Public Waters Bill or the Public Waters Fix, which would ensure that all waters that meet the definition in law of what constitutes a public water. We have a rigorous definition of public waters here in Minnesota. It would ensure that all waters that meet that definition are classified as public waters. And that is active right now at the session. And, we also have done a lot of work on nutrient pollution. We were one of the organizations that petitioned the EPA to address pervasive groundwater nitrate contamination in southeastern Minnesota. So there are also a lot of initiatives. That's not in the Minnesota River Basin, but there are other initiatives connected to that work to extend more protections to private well owners in particular who have contaminated water supplies because of that petition.
Now, this is specifically targeted at the state of the Minnesota River. So there's all these other lakes and water entities out there. Is it because the Minnesota River, essentially everything kind of flows there, or why are we picking this in particular?
So we wanted to do an event that was focused on the Minnesota River, in part because of the many challenges that the river faces. And those fall into, two major buckets of challenges. We have really high runoff levels, so really significant increases in the volume of water in the Minnesota River Basin. And that largely has to do with changes across the landscape, such as drainage for cropland and the loss of prairie potholes and wetlands that used to store water on the landscape. And some of the impacts of those changes in runoff levels are directly tied to those pollution challenges that I mentioned earlier. So a high level, lots of impairments for nitrogen and phosphorus and sediment loads or total suspended solids. So we wanted to focus in this event on the Minnesota River Basin because the challenges are extensive and the solutions that we will need to implement really fall into a holistic framework of, we need to some changes in stormwater runoff and agricultural drainage and the in-field practices, like the levels of commercial fertilizer and manure that are applied on farm fields. And so it's going to really take a holistic set of practices to address some of these challenges in the basin. So we thought it was important to have an event that really invites people into that conversation. They may be active on particular pieces of work within the basin, or people may just be curious to learn more about the issues that the basin faces. But we think that there's a lot of opportunity to address the challenges in the Minnesota River Basin. So we wanted to gather people together to have a conversation about what that could look like.
Are you just having one town hall, or will you have them up and down the river?
We only have one town hall planned at this time, so this is the first kickoff town hall.
Okay.
But we will see how it goes, and we would certainly be open to potentially hold others to build on the first event.
Because as you look at the Minnesota River, I mean, it goes a long way. So do you find some parts worse than others? Did you choose here because maybe we're a little more heavy on some of the issues that we need to solve, or is it just a good place to come?
Mankato is a good central location.
Okay.
You know, we do know that some of the nutrient challenges in particular in the Minnesota River Basin impact Mankato directly because of the source water assessment. So the drinking water supplies for the city pull from a couple of different sources and mix water from a few different sources. But one of those sources is the Minnesota River, and it can be impacted by really high nitrogen levels at times of the year. For example, the spring, when there's a lot of drainage, when the agricultural drainage systems have a lot of water that they flush into streams and rivers. So we have seen, for example, the broader basin-wide issues that the Minnesota River faces show up in infrastructural challenges around the cost, the high cost to treat city water for residents in Mankato.
When you look at the causes, you mentioned erosion and drainage and things like that. Are we also looking at development, whether it's factories or other businesses along the rivers that are causing issues? Is there any one that's maybe more overriding issue than another?
Yeah, well, so there's definitely through the framework that we have under the Clean Water Act, we have what are called, you know, there's a lot of emphasis on industries that discharge to rivers like the Minnesota or wastewater treatment plants. So there's been a lot of emphasis, for example, on changes at wastewater treatment plants to reduce phosphorus loads. That has been across the entire state, and we have seen some success with those measures. So one of the reasons why I mentioned some of the cropland-related issues in particular is because we don't have the same focus tools with challenges from agricultural runoff and agricultural pollution that we currently have for industrial dischargers or wastewater treatment plants, which are treated differently under the Clean Water Act. But yes, those are definitely a part of the broader picture of the contributors to water quality challenges.
When people come to this town hall, there's going to be a number of speakers, which you mentioned. Is it going to be a give and take where people can ask questions or share some information?
Yeah, we very much want this to be more of a conversation. So we are going to have, we've taken a variety of steps to facilitate more of an open conversation. You know, we do have our speaker program, but there will also be tables around the room where different organizations that do work within the Minnesota Basin will be set up with tables and information about the work that they do. So people who attend, if they're interested to follow up on the event and do more work or, you know, learn more from some of these organizations, they can make those connections. And we will definitely have time in the program itself for questions, and then Peg Frischong of CURE will lead some sort of takeaways and next steps, further actions that people can get involved in once the event is over, if they want to, if they're inspired by what they hear at the event and want to continue to be involved.
You actually anticipated my next question was, what is the takeaway for people who attend this? So is it not just you just sit and learn, but there will be things that people can do and take action?
Yeah, we are going to Peg Frischong is going to outline some of those opportunities at the town hall on Saturday. And, you know, we will follow up with people who are able to be there at the event if there are particular action items that they might want to consider, whether it's, you know, outreach to a local community group that they were connected with at the event that they weren't aware of previously, or outreach to, you know, your legislator about issues that are active at the Capitol right now. So Peg will cover a variety of those, you know, takeaways. What are the key takeaways we hope people leave with on Saturday? And what are some of the opportunities for further action?
That's wonderful. I'm glad to hear that. And it again, it is this Saturday, March 23rd from 10 to 11:30 at the Cato Ballroom here in Mankato. Do we need to pre-register or how do we get to be a part of the event?
So there is a registration link online and people can reach out directly to CURE or to MCEA if they want that registration link. Or you can just show up. You know, we encourage people to register beforehand so that we have an accurate sense of the number of people that will be there. But if you aren't able to register beforehand, you can certainly just join us on Saturday. So yes, you can also just show up there on Saturday. The event starts at 10, but we will have refreshments beginning at 9:30.
Oh, wonderful. We are talking with Carly Griffith. She is the Water Program Director with the Minnesota Center for Environmental Advocacy about the upcoming State of the Minnesota River Town Hall this Saturday. Carly, is there anything else you think is important for our listeners to know?
I think that what I'll just end with is that this is really intended, this event on Saturday is intended as the start of a longer conversation. So whether you're someone who has been really engaged on water issues within the Minnesota River Basin and, you know, locally active, or whether this is sort of a newer topic to you, but you're interested to learn more, this will be a very accessible event that is meant to bring more people into the conversation about this important initiatives that are underway to try to address some of the challenges and opportunities that we face in the Minnesota River Basin.
Thank you so much, Carly. I appreciate your time.
Thank you very much.
Every Day is Earth Day is supported by Minnesota Valley Federal Credit Union. With two locations in Mankato since 1934, it pays to bank where you're part owner, member NCUA. More at mnvalleyfcu.coop. And Every Day is Earth Day is also supported by members of the Executive Board of the South Central Minnesota Clean Energy Council. Find out more at smcleanenergy.org.